The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watch Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Warm greetings to you all from our family and from your brothers and sisters in Southern Africa. We'd planned to be back in the U.S. on home assignment in the summer of 2020. But that was canceled because of the COVID pandemic, although we came for a few days for vaccination purposes. So the last time we were on home assignment was 2018. That's 4 years ago. It's hard to believe that time has flown that fast. And this is the beginning of visiting congregations. I'll be traveling around the state into Wisconsin, and then flying to New York and Chicago before going back to South Africa at the end of August. So South Africa, where we're based, recorded the highest number of COVID cases in the 10 countries in the region. The vaccination rate is pretty low, below 40%. The countries all had lockdowns and now are struggling to recover. And with the conflict in Ukraine and climate-related disasters in the region, such as cyclones, floods, and droughts, that's added to the burden. But South Africa lifted all the COVID restrictions on the 23rd of last month. So no one was prepared. Our companion churches in the region lost members to COVID, family, friends, colleagues, the presiding bishop of the church in South Africa. Not being able to gather for funerals during that time, as you know, was particularly painful. Some congregations were able to use social media, but many couldn't. All of them suffered economically due to loss of income. As someone said during those days, "We're all in the same storm, but we're not all in the same boat." COVID exposed and accentuated many other pandemics, such as gender-based violence and economic inequality. So in South Africa, and as here, there's concern about recovering from this, going forward, living with COVID. But there is faith, there is hope, there's action. For example, in Malawi, in Namibia, and Zimbabwe, the churches there developed COVID-19 disaster response projects, which are being supported with ELCA, Lutheran Disaster Response Funds. These projects work with congregations and local communities to help improve health and promote sustainable livelihoods. The Lutheran Communion in Southern Africa has been holding workshops to train trainers and church leaders in disaster preparedness and response, as well as psychosocial support, including advocacy for gender justice. So as you know, throughout this year, 2022, the gospel readings are mainly from Luke's gospel, like the one we just heard now. And all of these stories challenge and shape and reshape our understanding of God's mission. A few years ago, Luther seminary professor Rolf Jacobson wrote, "We are our stories, but both from a theological and an ethical perspective, our stories are inevitably inadequate. So what then? We will need a different story, and we'll need this story to come alongside our stories and be a story that can tell the truth about us without killing us, or rather, precisely, a story that will tell the truth about us and thereby kill us, but also raise us from the dead." And one of these stories from Luke is the post-Easter story of the two disciples walking together on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus, deep in conversation. And while they're walking and talking and discussing, Jesus comes alongside them as a stranger. They don't recognize him, but a stranger who actively listens to their concerns, asks about their fears and their hopes, and then interprets, or rather reinterprets, the whole scriptures for them in the light of the cross and the resurrection. Things look completely different. And Jesus chides them for being foolish and slow of heart to believe, to understand. And then when they invite him to stay on with them, he does sit down with them to share a meal, to have fellowship, to break bread. And it is after that that their eyes are opened. And they say to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while we walked and talked and he was opening the scriptures to us?" In that same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and their companions gathered there. The crisis was still there, but instead of running away from the crisis, they went back into the crisis, but now with new hope and faith and a transformed vision and understanding that the crucified and risen Christ was in their midst. The kingdom had come near. Just over two decades ago, the ELCA adopted the accompaniment model for mission, defined as walking together in solidarity that practices interdependence and mutuality, where gifts and resources and experiences are shared with mutual advice and admonition to deepen and expand our work within God's mission. This model of accompaniment incorporates five values: mutuality, inclusivity, vulnerability, sustainability, and empowerment. So I've been reflecting on how these past months, even past few years, in our walking and listening and talking and working together, how often has Jesus, often as a stranger, come alongside to challenge us or to comfort us, to remind us how foolish we've been and how slow of heart to understand and to respond, but also when our eyes and hearts have been opened to experience God's kingdom, to see the future, to see a way forward when we saw no way forward. Can you think of an example in your life, in the life of this congregation, in the life of this church, in the world? A few weeks ago, I visited one of our companion synods in South Africa, and I went to visit the home of a colleague, a former colleague, who had passed away because of COVID. His name was Pastor Hendrik, and I heard his wife talk about what had happened and how at the beginning of the pandemic, when there was hardly any vaccination in the country except for nurses, he advocated, he said, "Pastors are frontline workers. They need vaccination too." So he really worked hard to get the pastors in his area vaccinated. But I don't know exactly what happened, but he succumbed to COVID. And so we were talking and reminiscing. He was a colleague of mine in the past. I remember once we went to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which had just started, that was looking at the whole history of the apartheid past. And as you know, Bishop Tutu was the chairperson, and it was all about truth-telling. And the idea was that if people tell the truth, they could be forgiven, they could be given amnesty. And Bishop Tutu wrote that little book, No Future Without Forgiveness. And I think about that every day. But we were on the way, and we were late, and so I was speeding, and a traffic cop pulled us over. And Hendrik was sitting next to me in the passenger seat, and he said to the police officer, he said, I'm sorry, but we're going to the truth. We're going to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And the police officer said, oh, all right, go, 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 go. So he let us off the hook. But it was Hendrik who was said, we've got to go there. We have to be, that's part of history. Then after our conversation with his wife, Susan, she said, would you like some tea or coffee and cake? And I thought, oh. I said, no, it's okay. Then I thought, no, wait a minute, yeah. So we sat and had coffee and cake and talked and cried and laughed. And then we went on our way. But looking again, all often looking back at those experiences, one says, yeah, the Holy Spirit was walking by our side, opening up the way, giving us hope when we didn't have hope. Since February last year, the ELCA has been engaged in a new initiative called Future Church, looking at how to integrate local and global mission. Based on that belief that members like you, congregations like this, synods, and the church-wide organization must all work together to share the powerful witness of the gospel, because we need to invite new, young, and diverse people to experience God's grace in action. A representative as Christ the King together, alongside sisters and brothers in Southern Africa and in other parts of the world, and to learn together what mission accompaniment means, what it means to be called and gathered and sent together by God's grace to participate in God's mission of transformation, reconciliation, and mutual empowerment for the sake of the life of this world that God loves so much. I like to say the church doesn't have a mission. It's not our mission, but God's mission has a church. It was and still is God's work and our hands. May God bless us as we continue to walk together in God's mission. Thank you. Amen. Thank you for your prayers and support.